I just think that tennis has done a really poor job with accepting personalities in the past. You know, I think they've kind of really only marketed three players for the last decade, and now it's kind of caught up with them, so hence they've tried to, you know, push some of the next-gen guys, which I think there's some of them are really exciting. I really like the two young Canadians, I think, can really do some special things in the sport. But tennis has really, you know, struggled to embrace different personalities, like, and people go about it differently. Like, something about Thanasi, when I watch him play singles, that glues me to the TV, whether he's losing, whether he's winning. It's just the way he goes about it. And I think, you know, tennis needs to embrace that more. You know, you look at the match against me and Medvedev, you couldn't have two polar opposite kind of personalities going up against it. But the actual quality of tennis was still to a pretty good level that I thought, and it was fun. It was like, at the end of the day, I'm going to shake the man's hand and say, too good. Like, you were too good at the end of the day. But the match was fun to watch, and I think tennis needs to just push that, I think, a lot. Otherwise,
sorry.
Okay. Yeah, it's in trouble.
Any final questions in the room? One more final one.
One more. Just, can you shed some light as to what happened after your last game in the locker room?
Well, don't worry about that. Like, last question. There was the good stuff before that, which is what we're going to talk about. Craig Gabriel joins us on the program to give us the latest from Melbourne Park. Good morning, Craig.
Morning.
How are you feeling, just by the way?
Again, I feel fine. It's just the voice, that's all. I was actually starting to worry that things might hit me today because I was speaking to a couple of friends who've had it, a colleague in Sydney as well, and he said, oh, the first couple of days, you know, he felt generally okay, but he said, on the third day, the third and fourth day, he could barely get out of bed. So this would be, I was tested positive on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So this could have been the day that I would have been in that situation. But so far, touch wood, and I'm doing that, so far, so good.
Are you saying on the third day you rose again? Just checking.
Let there be light.
Nice work from you. Just on that grab from Nick Kyrgios, he was talking after his doubles game with Thanasi the other day.
Yeah.
About personalities in tennis. I found it intriguing to get that level of conversation from Nick, I must admit, and that analysis from him. And it's hard to disagree with what he said, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, also while I agree with him as far as the promotion of the younger players, I think there's been a reasonable amount of it. But they have all the younger players who are incredible talents have also got to start proving themselves a lot more on a more consistent basis. The results are now starting to come up, and we're starting to see that. You know, those guys really emerging and being talked about a bit more. But it was still so dominated by the big three. They were not necessarily having consistent wins over those big three for extra recognition, if you get what I'm saying. So, you know, there's two ways on this. Yes, the tours could be doing a bit more to promote those guys, but the tourists will say, yes, we're doing, or certainly the men will say, yeah, we're doing that, but with things like the next-gen finals that are played in Milan every year, that have seen the emergence of Alex Dimon or Stefanos Tsitsipas, and Felix as well. So, you know, but they've also need to start getting consistent results and winning more and more and more tournaments, and big tournaments, to highlight themselves, and we're starting to see that happen now.
I think it's a really interesting point you make, Craig, and I do agree with you, but it's that balance, I guess, around the personalities in the game and getting to know the tennis players as people, and I think we're certainly starting to see that more and more with Nick, and then you marry that up with the validity of them as tennis players that win, because I think there's this big thing with Kyrgios at the moment of being an entertainer, which he absolutely is.
Yeah.
But he doesn't win a lot.
No, but I think with Nick, you know, I think his time has probably passed on that, maybe. Hopefully not. Whereas the others are wanting to win. And, yeah, that's the thing. The younger ones, using that term, this next generation, are incredibly exciting to watch. So, but, yeah, then there needs to be more consistency on this, and also provide way more direct access to the players. A lot of the times, managers need to sit to one side, because the international media don't necessarily get that much time on a one-to-one basis with a lot of these players in an effort to promote them.
Yes, but I think what's happening now, and this is across all sports, is that the athletes are promoting themselves through their own social media platforms, which is kind of, you know, if you like, controlled in the sense that it's what they want to give up or they want to talk about, as opposed to the way it's been done traditionally. And I'm not sure, this goes back to this whole Naomi Osaka situation from the past, I'm not sure necessarily we'll ever get back to where we were. It might be more where we're heading.
Well, quite possibly. Yeah, you know, I don't think you're very wrong on that, Adam. I think that's certainly a situation where the players want to control a bit more. And then, you know, with them trying to control a bit more, you get dribs and drabs, because then they feel they don't want to get bogged down all the time promoting themselves. Or, you know, they just want to go out and play a match or do their training or, you know, just take it easy, but for themselves. So that it works it has to work in a lot of ways.
It's an interesting conversation, I reckon, about how tennis markets its athletes. We'll talk more about it another day, perhaps. Let's go back to what happened yesterday afternoon/evening. It was a late start for Alex Diminar, the demon, the last male standing in the singles draw. He's now outski after Jannik Sinner had his way. 7-6-3, 7-6-6, 3-6-4. Craig, we spoke about this game yesterday in the build-up and the chance for Alex to get through, but your man Sinner was pretty bloody good.
Yeah, he was. And the two women's matches before were the ones that delayed everything because they went forever and ever. It was surprised how late things did get. But Sinner was just pretty good. I think what I was saying was that I thought the first set was going to be tight. And while Alex wouldn't give up, Sinner would get the confidence after that first set and just build and go on from there. And I think that's pretty much really what happened. I mean, Alex, I asked him. I said, asked him if he had a bit of a letdown, or did he feel a little bit deflated after a tight first set where he had quite a few chances? And he was pretty good about it. He said, no, I don't. He said, I don't believe so. He thought what made the difference, the conditions changed on court, because the shadow came across the court towards the end of the first set. And that changed things. It made it a bit cooler and allowed Sinner to take a little bit more advantage of that. And he was able to push through. But, he said also at the beginning of the second set, he had chances and didn't capitalize.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a shame in a sense because he has shown so many encouraging signs, improvement in the past period of time. But I still think that's just where he's at. When he comes up against a guy that's got the weapons that someone like a Sinner has got, that counterpuncher type of Leighton Hewitt style can only kind of get him so far, maybe.
Yeah, well, this is pretty much what I was also saying, is that, you know, he's not going to give up. He's going to give it everything he's got. He's got his speed and his placement and all that. But when you have a guy like Sinner, who's so tall and has got such reach and so much power, it's going to make it difficult, very difficult for somebody like Alex, who's even, I think he's a little bit shorter than Hewitt, or about the same, but he's got a huge heart. But that power is so dominating, and that's what causes the issue.
Mm.
And some other men's action yesterday, well, last night, Stefanos Tsitsipas took five. It took him a while to get over your man Fritzy from the States.
Seriously, the two night matches last night, they went forever. Tsitsipas over Fritz. Fritz was up 2-1, and it was 4-6, 6-4, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4. I don't know if you saw Tsitsi's on-court media conference, conference, or interview rather, but he was a bit dazzled with it all, and he couldn't get his words out, just like me just now. He eventually said, oh, I'm so tired, I can't think at the moment, you know. So, it was draining. He gets so focused during a match that he even forgets the score.
Well, he's got to beat Sinner to get through to the semis if he wants to progress. And Daniil Medvedev and Felix Auger-Aliassime got the chocolates as well. And they'll meet in the quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, Daniil was getting a bit antsy in the match yesterday. He was a bit fed up with things, and he admitted later that he didn't want, it was wrong that he was in that situation, but a few things had annoyed him before, and it wasn't any one specific thing. Everything just built up, and he just exploded a few times yesterday during the match, but he got through it. He didn't like the fact that he was on Margaret Court Arena, and I think maybe he's got a bit of a point that he's the highest seed, he's a finalist here from last year, he's a major winner. That why wouldn't he be on Rod Laver Arena? He's up against Oja Aliassime, who had a very good win over Marin Cilic. So we'll see how things progress. He's played Oja Aliassime twice before and won both. But But for my money, really, yesterday the story was Elise Cornet.
Yeah, well, yes. Sorry, I want to ask you, because I'm a bit of a fan of her, and she's been around a long time. I think it's 36 or 37 Grand Slam appearances, and finally she's got through to a quarterfinal for the very first time. 63.
63. Yeah. 63.
Yes.
Nobody beats her 63 times in a row.
No. She's been at every single major since the start of 2007. Every single major that's been played. And I say that because Wimbledon 2020 was cancelled.
Yeah.
So 63, and then she reaches a quarterfinal for the first time. There's no doubt that she was emotional. You have to figure that was going to happen. She was so thrilled, so excited, and you really felt pretty happy for her. She's a feisty one. I mean, I've seen her in certain matches, playing Serena and all that, and she can get really riled up. She's quite flamboyant. But that was a wonderful moment for her yesterday, and the on-court interview with Yelena Dokic was the best on-court interview at this tournament, this year's Australian Open, but in my mind, for a very long time. The tear fest that happened, I just thought it was a great moment on the court, the way she acknowledged Yelena. After such a big win, to have that mindset to actually comment on Yelena and saying that she so wanted to play Yelena, 13, 14 years ago, when there was a chance that they would in the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. So, and it never happened because Cornet lost. So there was all that sort of stuff that was pretty fascinating.
It was a lovely moment, no doubt.
Just amazing how long she's been playing it, that she hadn't got through to a quarterfinal of a Grand Slam, because she's always been fairly consistent. She's got there.
Consistently about fourth round.
Yeah.
She's got Danielle Collins, who's fiery, not one of my favorites. They've played before. And she said, I was looking at her match. My goodness, she is strong, and she is like a lion. She's so tense. So it'll be a very dramatic match, I dare say.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, because I think she's won the hearts of the Melbourne tennis crowd, no doubt about that. Now, today, we've got some action. We've got Rafa.
Oh, sorry, this is a touch on Sabalenka.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She's Kaia Kanepi, the late one. 5-7, 6-2, 7-6. She upset the second seed. It finally happened. I was wondering when the heck she was going to lose the way she's been playing. She's been scrambling through her matches, but what I just thought was the irony of it, the first three rounds, she loses the first set every single time and is in trouble in the second, goes on to win. Last night, she wins the first set and goes on to lose the whole match, Sabalenka. But it didn't surprise me. I thought Kanepi might have actually beaten her, and she did.
Yeah, the giant killing run continues for Kaia Kanepi. She's had a great campaign so far. She will meet, who's she playing, Świątek?
Świątek, yeah, she was in tears as well yesterday. Świątek defeated Sorana Costea in three sets.
She did too. Let's talk about Ash today. We've got in the night session today at Rod Laver Arena, Jessica Pegula, whose family went disappointed yesterday because the Buffalo Bills lost in the NFL, which we'll talk about after the break. So she's a bit flat, but she's now all focused on her from her family's perspective. Has she got any chance against our Ash?
Yeah, of course she has. She's still in the tournament. That means she's got a chance. So as far as that's concerned, though, I think Ash is going to win. Maybe a tight set and then goes through. They played once. It was the first round of the French Open in 2019. It was 6-3, 6-3 to Barty because she went on to win the title that year. But I don't think you can compare things. That was, 3 years ago almost? And on clay in Paris, a different set of conditions altogether. This is in Melbourne on hard court, hot conditions. So I don't think you can compare. And this will be a night match as well. So I'd still go, certainly go with Barty on it.
Barty to win tonight, which I'm looking forward to. And Rafa, the left-hand fest is on this afternoon, not before 2 p.m., they tell me, at Rod Laver Arena. Shapovalov and Nadal. Dennis is sneaking up, isn't he? So he'd be going in pretty confident, wouldn't he?
But two Canadians in the quarterfinals. What the heck's going on? ice hockey. Shapovalov, yeah. I mean, he had the win over Alexander Zverev in the previous round in straight sets. But what I always look for in this sort of a situation, how does he back that up? How is he going to come back and play? Because so often you see a player with a win over a big name, and they become a little bit flat the next round, or they win a title, a little bit flat the next tournament. And we'll see if he maintains that high level that he had to have against Zverev when he comes up against Rafa. Rafa just takes it in his stride. He'll just go out there. No, nothing changes with him. He's so consistent with his level of focus. So, I actually would probably go with Rafa on this. Four sets, it wouldn't surprise me if it was three sets. So Rafa there, and then the other one on the men's, Gael Monfils against Matteo Berrettini. That, I think, will be a nice match to watch.
A good watch, yeah.
You got the flamboyance of Gael and the solid brute power of Matteo. I think it would be a great contrast. So that could be a good one to watch.
Another good day of tennis at Melbourne Park as we get closer towards finals days, Saturday and Sunday. Craig, always a pleasure. Go well.
Thanks, guys.